Amen. We sang number 32. And I just want to point out something in the chorus that I learned last week at the retirement home. There's an old brother there that's 95 years old. And we always sing this hymn at the end of the little talk that we give. A brother always sings this, and he said, read the chorus carefully. It says, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And so we turn to Psalm 51. Let's do that now. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 7. This is a great king who had sinned greatly. And before God, he was repentant. We pray that you will be tonight. And he turned to God in prayer. And he said, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Not as white as snow. Whiter than snow. And this old brother, he went on to tell. He said that every snowflake has a little speck of dust in the center of it. He said carbon. But a little speck of dust, water, molecules form around that little molecule of dust. And it becomes a snowflake. And it comes down. You know, I'm from the part of the world where there's lots of snow sometimes. We don't have any this year yet. We've had a little bit. But can you imagine a man that's 95 years old pointing out this detail? And I have sung this hymn for so many times and I've never realized it. That when the Christ Jesus saves my soul, when he saved me, he made me whiter than snow. We have a rink on our front lawn, boards. And I sent a picture to my father-in-law the other day of the boards. He said, now you just have to change the color. It's all brown. It's green and brown. But soon it will be white, Lord willing. What about your soul? Dear one tonight, before God, is your soul clean? Are your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to speak for a moment to the children that are here. This morning, I thoroughly enjoyed the message. Did you listen? Did you believe? When I was a boy, I had the privilege to come to many gospel meetings at conferences like this. The assembly that I grew up in was large. There was 10 young men my age. Unfortunately, some of those young men who sat in those chairs like me, I do not know if they're saved today. I do not know. God does. God loves them as much as he loves me. But I don't know if they ever accepted the Lord Jesus or not. They had the opportunity, but they turned away. Their lives show that they have no time for the Lord Jesus. You're just young tonight. Have you come? Have you come to the Lord Jesus and have your sins all washed away so that you could be whiter than snow? Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, we love getting a fresh crust of snow. We love it at home. Because we live in a climate where we get snow and then it warms up a bit and it gets muddy and the salt takes away the snow and makes it kind of slushy and everything looks ugly and there's puddles and oh, it's ugly. And then we get another fresh snowfall. And it's like, oh, this is great. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if somebody said, yeah, I'm a sinner. A great sinner. Lord, won't you wash me clean tonight in thy precious blood? And he would love to do that. You know, I said at the beginning about this lady, and she said, my soul is my business. Is there somebody here like that? And you say, hey, it's personal. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me about that. I make my own decisions. Tonight we're warning you that if you're not clean before God, there's a day coming when you're going to go to hell. It's as simple as that. That lady who said that has never once come to the Bible class. Never. She's been invited, but she's never come. My soul is my business. Solemn. To willfully say no to God's love. Is there somebody here like that tonight? God's love is available to you. He wants to save you. But you got to be willing. I'd like to read a verse in Acts chapter 4. The part of the world I live in Eastern Canada, there's a lot of people who whose parents grew up going to church, and the children could see the emptiness of it, and so they don't go. They maybe go once a year at Christmas. They pay a certain amount every year so that their kids can get married in the church, and so they can get buried in the cemetery of the church. There's no life. No love of God in most of them. No respect. Godless. We've been working for a lady who's very nice. Very kind. Very honest. But she told me, she said, you know, Paul, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You just got to be good. You just got to be good. Do the right thing. Treat other people nice. Doesn't really matter what you believe. Verse 12 of Acts 4. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. That's God's word. It's a command. We must be saved. You know, this lady said, as long as you're good. Good? Compared to God, you're good? Have you ever sinned once? I say once. I've sinned hundreds of times. Sad to say. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way to God except through His Son, the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that can save you, that can wash away your sins in His precious blood. We've talked about His precious blood a little bit this week, and haven't we? We were reminded last night of how the Lord Jesus, God's Son, came into this world and went to the cross and died for sinners like me and like you. But you've got to reach out in faith and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I remember sitting in chairs like this. I remember saying, no, I'm not getting saved tonight. I remember men standing here presenting the gospel, and inside I was saying, be quiet, don't tell me that. I didn't want to get saved. But God, in His love to my soul, He saved it. He broke me down. He made me to see that He was willing to save a wretch like me. You know what drove me to the Lord? Was my sins. I used to have trouble sleeping. Is there somebody like that here tonight? You have trouble sleeping because of your sins? Jesus will wash away your sins in His precious blood. You'll be whiter than snow. It's amazing. He'll do that tonight for you. He did it for me. And you know, I can sleep at night. I don't worry about my sins anymore. They're gone. They're paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Now, Hebrews chapter 2. We touched on this verse earlier. Hebrews chapter 2. And the third verse says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I confess to you that I rejected. But as I rejected, I neglected. Tonight, is there a rejecter here? Perhaps. You haven't heard the gospel before. You haven't heard that God loves you. That God sent His Son to save you from your sins. If you're willing to have Him as your Savior. But tonight, there's people here that have heard this message many times. And perhaps you're a rejecter, but that makes you a neglecter. But you might be a neglecter too and just be saying, "Oh, I'll do that later." I grew up in an assembly as a little boy with Brother Charles Hayo. And he said, the people that wait to get saved to the 11th hour, they die at 10:30. We don't have a lease on life. Anything can happen. We know that. I flew here. We got out of Ottawa and into Toronto. We were going down and down and down, and it was foggy. You couldn't see anything. We got right almost to the runway, and all of a sudden he gave it power like you wouldn't believe. And everyone in the plane is like, Why? Because eternity is real. We know it is. And there was people on that plane, no doubt, that knew that they had sinned. That knew that Jesus was willing to save them. But they've neglected. Or they rejected. Is that you? What if you don't get home? Then what? What if you neglect so great salvation and the Lord Jesus comes? We're going to talk about that by way of a story in the Old Testament. Let's turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 18. There's quite a few chapters in the book of Genesis that deal with a man and his family. His name is Abraham. One of the characteristics of Abraham was that he was a friend of God. A friend of God. Can you say tonight that you're a friend of God? God loves you. We already said that. And we can give you the verses to prove that if you're interested afterward. But do you love God? I ask you tonight, do you love God? Abraham loved God. And his life proved that he loved God. He obeyed God. His faith in God resulted in the way that he lived. His life showed that he had faith. He obeyed God. And verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord." Now, wait a minute. There's three men that come to Abraham. And he says, My Lord. He doesn't say, My Lords. He said, My Lord. He recognized that one of those men was the Lord, was God. Let me ask you tonight, has God appeared to you? You say, God appeared to me? Has God spoken in your life in a way that you can't deny it? He's spoken to me. Tonight he's speaking to you again in love. And he's saying, won't you have my son Jesus as your Savior tonight? My son who I gave, who died on the cross, who shed his precious blood, who suffered for you. Won't you have him? You know, let's go on in our chapter here. Verse 4. Let's go back to 3. "And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your soul, your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do, as thou hast said." Then it says, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and a meal was prepared for the Lord and the other two. There was these three men. Now let's go down to verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence," this was after their little meal, "and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of it. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. So they have this meal, this wonderful fellowship, Abraham with his Lord. Then they get up to go. The Lord says, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I love this. Fellow believer in the room tonight, in John 15, the Lord calls us his friends. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the future at this conference. And we've talked about the future with certainty. We've talked about prophecy. How do we know this is true? We have confidence in our Lord, don't we? And he's told us the future in this book, the Bible. Because we're his friends. That's why. He loves us. Abraham was the friend of God. And so God told him about coming judgment on the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah and two other cities that aren't named here. Now, in the life of Abraham, we read about his nephew. His nephew Lot, that had first chosen that part of the world that was prosperous and green, good for his herds, his wealth, and he had pitched his tent toward that city of Sodom, that wicked city of Sodom. He had pitched his tent that way. Then he lived there, and we're going to see in the next chapter that he was in the government there. He was a righteous man. We learn that in the New Testament. But Abraham had a problem. He loved his nephew. And no doubt, his nephew's family. They lived in Sodom, and Sodom was going to be destroyed. And the Lord wanted Abraham to know about it before he did it. This world is under the judgment of God. And then those of us who are believers, we know it. What are we doing about it? It's our challenge to tell others. Somebody told me. Am I willing to tell others? We're here to tell others tonight. But may it be an encouragement as we think of others that are in Sodom. Sodom is all around us. We live in the same kind of world. God judged it then. God will judge it soon. Maybe in a few minutes. We don't know. But judgment is coming in this world. You know, the Lord knew what was going on in Sodom. He didn't have to go down there. But I think what this really means is that there was going to be a divine interruption into what was going on down there. Those angels knew. The Lord knew the sin. And the Lord knows your life from one end to the other. The Lord knows what's going on in this city. He knows the sin that's going on tonight here. Is it okay? No, it's not okay. The sin in your life, is it okay? No. Does God know about it? Yes. Do you have a problem? Yes! A great problem. And if you've never had your sins washed whiter than snow, you have a real problem. You're in your sins before a holy God. But there's a remedy tonight. There's a remedy. And in the next chapter, there was a remedy for Lot. He was taken out of that city before the judgment came, but judgment is coming on this world. And we have the privilege as believers in the Lord Jesus. We know it's coming. And in faithfulness to our Lord and in love to souls, we can warn others. Now, the next part of this chapter to me is beautiful. I'll try to read it quickly because it takes some time. We don't have much. Verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" He knew his nephew was righteous. And he said, "Lord, are you going to destroy Lot? My nephew, I love him. Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Lord, if there's 50 in the city of Sodom, won't you have mercy on them? What a heart Abraham had. A love for others. To me, this is so grand. He cared. A message to my own heart. The Lord says, Abraham says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner. to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. But Abraham had a nagging fear inside. Lord, what if there's not 50? To me, this is a great story. Verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Abraham had a little fear inside again. And he says, he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And this is the Lord. He said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Abraham thought, oh, good, I'm covered. Lot's going to not be destroyed. He did the math. Lot, Lot's wife, Lot's girls that are married, their husbands, the two that aren't married, his sons. There's going to be 10 at least. Oh, yeah, there's going to be 10. Boys and girls, just because your parents are saved doesn't mean you're saved. And we're going to find that there was one. Just one. There wasn't 50 or 45 or 40 or 10. There was one righteous person when the judgment came. Just one. Saul. Boys, how about you? Your parents are saved. Are you? Girls? Young people, are you whiter than snow before a holy God? Are you? Or are you saying tonight, that's my business? Don't talk to me like that. We talk to you tonight because we love your soul. We want to see those sins of yours washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. I can't imagine a grander thing for a person who's a sinner to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Can you wash me clean tonight? Have you ever done that? Do it tonight if you haven't. Do it now. He's willing to save you. Genesis 19. The two men, they continued on their way. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. The two angels left Abraham. They walked down into the valley of sin. Lot was there. He intercepted them. He took them to his house. He made a feast for them. I got to tell you a story. A story about the lights. When I was a boy, I'll speak about Charles Hale again. He always did this when he preached. And he was waving his finger like this. And then we had a storm that came. And the lights went out. There was a little light at the back, a safety light that stayed on. It was pitch black in the meeting room apart from that. It was a big room. And Charles Hale did not stop preaching. He kept right on and he said, "That's what hell's like. The blackness of darkness forever." The Lord let the power go out. Because He loves you. Is there somebody here that's on their way to hell? The lights went out for you. It's a warning. Heed it tonight. These angels came. Lot intercepted them. The men of the city came around. And they said, "Hey, Lot, bring those men out to us. We want to abuse them." This was an immoral city. Terrible wickedness. Isn't that the world we live in? It's glorified. Sin. There's videos and movies as much as you want. As much filth and sin as you want. It's available everywhere in North America. The land of plenty. Yeah, plenty of sin. Plenty of defilement. Tonight, are you saved? Are your sins washed away in the precious blood of Jesus? Well, verse 11. The two angels smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Those angels, very early in the morning. Verse 12 said to Lot, and the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the Lord, face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Well, here we have Lot. He's terrified. What he went through that night with the men beating on the house, trying to abuse the angels. Imagine, the angels abusing angels. How dare men do that? How dare men do the things they do today? How dare do you do those things that displease God? Well, Lot goes in fear. He goes to his sons-in-law. Notice he doesn't go to his sons. He doesn't bother. Isn't that sad? He goes to his sons-in-law. He says, "There's judgment coming. You got to get out." What do they say? "Lot, come on. Don't be ridiculous. It's nice here. The climate's great. We have good businesses. Everything's good. We've got lots to eat. Lot, come on. We're not going to. There's no judgment coming." Haven't you talked to people like that? "Oh, everything's good here. We can do whatever we want. There's plenty of food. We got houses, we got cars." They go skiing on God's mountains, water skiing on His lakes. They don't want God, but they have all these things, and they say, oh, no need. But judgment was coming. And Lot knew it was coming. And you know what? I know it's coming. Because I have one of these. God's Word, the Bible. And it's our opportunity, dear believers, to tell others. We need to do this. Tonight, I'm telling you. Anyone in this room who's not saved, you need the Lord Jesus tonight. He loves you. He wants you. He died to wash away your sins so that you might be whiter than snow. One of the fellows that works for me is a dear, dear believer. He doesn't have the privilege that you and I have of coming to conferences like this. His view of the church is four walls. Not every true believer. So he misses out. The popular ministry in Christendom, a lot of it is what Bruce referred to earlier today. The people selling books where the money is where the controversy is, where the Word of God isn't rightly divided. And this man is confused often because of what he reads. People that he respects that he reads and is that right? Reads one thing and it's different from the next and it's hard. He's not sure if the Lord's going to come and take us all to heaven in the rapture. He's afraid that maybe we're going to go through the tribulation that's coming on this world. He doesn't know what to believe. So we read the scriptures to him. We give him examples. And here's one here. Let's read about it. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being very merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now we'll go down to verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 27. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Judgment did come. But the one righteous man in that city was taken out of the judge before the judgment came. To me, this is a lovely picture. You know, he lingered. Of course he lingered. His family was there. He didn't want to leave them for judgment. What about our families tonight? Boys and girls, are you saved? Judgment's coming on this world. We've heard this the last two nights. The Lord Jesus is the way to escape the judgment, to have our sins forgiven, to be made whiter than snow. Won't you come tonight to the Lord Jesus? Have your sins forgiven forever. To know that when the Lord Jesus comes, you're going to go. The judgment's going to fall on this world. We know that. It's not getting better. It's getting worse here. It's getting darker here. God knows all about it. Are you going to be left here? for the judgment of God. It says here, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. A furnace. Can you imagine being in the furnace of God for all eternity? That's why we're speaking tonight. And don't say, my soul is my business. Don't talk to me about my soul. Tonight you have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As I pray, pray with me. Come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank Thee so much for going to the cross, for allowing people like me to spit in Thy face, to pound nails through Thy hands and feet, to put a spear in Thy side, to die there, Lord Jesus, for the likes of me, for anyone who will take their place as a sinner before Thee. We just pray that there would be nobody here tonight who would not be ready to go when the Lord Jesus delivers us from the judgment to come. So we thank Thee for these meetings. We thank Thee for our brethren that have invited us to come. We just thank Thee, Lord, for Thy goodness to us. Help us as believers in the Lord Jesus, those of us who are, to tell others, to warn them of the judgment to come. We thank Thee for such great salvation. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for washing me and for everyone who has trusted in Thee, whiter than snow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.